Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible with you or don't own one, there's one in the pew pocket in front of you. Just take it home. That's yours. We'd love for you to have the Word of God in your hands. Genesis chapter 3. Last week we looked at Genesis 3 verses 1 through 7, and I said last week that we were going to go deeper into sin this week, and Dan Wilcox said, well, I'm not coming to church then. If you're going to go deeper into sin. Well, let me explain. We want to look at a tactic Satan uses when he is trying to get you into sin. Now, he doesn't care what avenue that is, does he? Does he have a moral about him that says, I'll do this, but I won't do that? No. He is out to distract you, to detour you, or destroy you. Those three D's. And we're going to talk about the 3D of sin today. Satan has a strategy. I'm going to call it the slippery slope of sin. And once you get on the slippery slope, it's easy to start sliding further down and further down and further down until you get to a place you go, whoa, how did I get here? I'm so far away from God. How did that happen? Have you felt that before? I have. How did that happen? Satan is blatant in some ways. By blatant, I mean obvious. But he is way subtle in a lot more ways. He's good at what he does. He tried to become God himself. God said, no way, Jose, and cast him and a third of all the angels out of heaven. And Satan became the, master of the earth. That's not the word scripture used, but the idea that Satan has dominion on earth to cause trouble while he's here. And he's against us. He's against you. And he's good at what he does. Deception is his tool. Do you know what deception is? Deception is having you do something you think is right when it's not. Having you do something you think is right when it's not. Now, the only way to catch him at deception is to know your word in the Bible. Know God's word. Do you know it? Do you read it? Do you study? Small groups is a great way to study. Get on the internet, there's thousands of reading programs. Read through the Bible in a year. Spend some time comprehending what the words say. I have questions for God. I have not yet found answers in the last 30 years of study. Some of those questions I think I'm going to have to wait till I get to heaven to find out. But for a number of those questions, they come to light as I dig deeper, as I pray for God's insight. Same for you. I used to think, my pastor over in Elgin, I was growing up over there, Bill Miller was his name, and I looked at Bill and I said, man, he's got it made. You know, I mean, he studies God's word, he knows what it means, he prays all the time. Come to find out, he was just as human like you and me. And I thought, he is so far above me. But what I didn't realize then was that I could do the very same thing he did. I could study, I could pray, I can read. Didn't occur to me that I could do that as much as he does or go as deep as he does. So our first awareness of Satan is to not think you can go deeper than someone else or as deep as someone else. Don't you ever say, well, I'll never be like you fill in the blank. Satan's strategy hasn't changed since the days of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Read that with me. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other of the wild animals the Lord God had made. The word crafty means skillful. Doesn't mean sly or hiding. It just means he was skillful. The serpent was more skillful than any of the other wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will surely not die," the serpent said to the woman. And we're going to stop right there. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 records that God told Adam, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Satan sets up his three-step sin plan into action to ensnare God's most beloved creation, Adam and Eve. First, he speaks to the woman, then he passes near the trees, she is passing near the trees in the center of the garden. So here's Satan's first D in his 3D plan. Satan's first step is to get you to doubt God's word, Satan said, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Did you see what he did there? He added two words. He added the word "not." Did God really say you must not eat from what kind of tree? Any tree in the garden. Satan uses God's own words, sometimes quoting him exactly word for word, and sometimes mixing God's words with his own words, as he does here, then questions God's word in an effort to cause us to question God's word. Did God really say, in other words, did God really mean that? Or did he mean this? Or maybe he meant that. And now we have a bunch of options. And when we get our eyes off what God said onto other options, that's when we start saying, "Well, maybe this, maybe that. I'm not really sure anymore." Satan has used this extremely effective tactic throughout history. How well do you know God's word? Well, after 37 years of being in Bible college and ministry, I still have a lot I don't know about God's word. You know, it's one of those things, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. And so study is a lifelong endeavor, Are you reading God's word almost daily? I don't get there every day. I don't expect you to read it every day and never miss, or else you're a failure. No, I don't say that. But get into God's word regularly. Let him feed you. Ask him a question and look up scriptures for answer. Dig into his word. Here's a challenge for you. Take one or two verses and think on those two verses for a year. And see how deep the Holy Spirit will take you into two verses. What questions will you find answers to? What understanding will you gain if you just focus on two verses for the whole year? And I'm not saying that's the only thing you do in Scripture, but it becomes a theme. I'm focusing on these two verses, or these five verses, this passage, for a whole year. When Colleen King was our secretary here at Athena Christian for about 14 years, thank you, Colleen, she would put scriptures on her computer screen. Scriptures that were promises. One of them was about her grandson, Gabriel. Remember Gabriel's born. It was a hard birth. Things weren't going well. And Colleen had a verse out of Luke, I think it was, and a promise of God, and she held on to that for several years. I think that verse was on your computer screen for a long, long time. Good things to focus on. Are you diligently studying God's Word on your own or with a small group? The goal is to know God's Word thoroughly enough that you can catch Satan when he mixes his own words or ideas in with God's. He will do it. Will you be ready? Catch him at it. But that's his first step, get you to doubt God's Word. The second sin step is to get you to dilute God's Word, to add to, or to remove from, or to misremember what God had said. Eve said, "We may eat from the trees in the garden," but God did say, "You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." Did she quote him correctly? She added something. What did she add? Don't touch it. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. You just don't eat the fruit from it. And so the tree is something you can touch. So she added something to it God did not add, and made what he said stricter than it really was. Tries to dilute God's word. Eve attempted to correct the serpent's understanding of God's instruction. But in doing so, she also misquoted God and even added extra words that God did not say. Let's be careful. You have a scripture. If I had my cell phone on me, I'd say, there's your scriptures. How many of you have apps on your cell phones? Bible apps. Yeah. Yeah. Using them right now. Great. And God's word is just right there, always around you. Check. Double check. What is God really saying? So God wants you to know what he is truly saying. Satan wants you to add, subtract, or misquote, misremember what he said. Remember back several years, our church had a challenge going on of memorizing scripture. Anybody want to guess how many people told me that they can't remember scripture, they can't memorize it? Almost everybody said that at first. I can't remember. Do you know your phone number? Well, yeah, it's a da-da-da. How did you remember that? Well, did you remember your kids' names? Do you remember where you live? How do you know this information? Well, you use it a lot. Okay, so let's take and use God's word a lot. Let's practice. If I had a whiteboard up here and wrote a scripture on it, and we'll do a memory exercise, we'll say the scripture memory, all the whole thing, da 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 da. Let's do Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then I'd erase a couple of words, and we'd say it again. And then I'd erase a few more words, and we'd say it again. I'd erase some more words. And we do that until that whole verse is gone, and you're saying it from memory. Do that at home. Get yourself a whiteboard or a pen and pencil, whatever it be, pencil, paper, and use the tools to help you remember, to memorize Scripture. How many of you have at least one scripture memorized? You got one that you can pull up? Yeah, great. Very good. Satan is going to try to get you to dilute God's word. He's going to try to get you to doubt God's word. And his third tactic is to get you to dismiss God's word. Satan adds new words and phrases that can lead to new interpretations. Be careful. Satan said, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Wow. Who doesn't want to be like God? Can you see the appeal? I want to be more like God. Isn't that one of the reasons why we attend to gather together, is so that we can learn how to be more like his character? Not that we want to be God, but that we can become more like him in his character and his nature. Well, Satan used something that he knew Eve would be pleased with, to be more like God. And he also lied to her. You won't die. I don't know why she said, oh yeah, that's what he said. I got it down. He said, we will surely die. Now, you may know, you may not know, that death means physical death. And when Adam and Eve did eat of the forbidden fruit, they began at that moment to die. Now, they lived a long time. Adam was 930 years. Methuselah, 969 years. You know, people lived a long time, but they died. That wasn't God's intent in the garden. Do we understand this? God's perfect world, both in the garden and the entire world, was a perfect place. Death was not a place, a thing that happened in that place. If you eat of this tree, if you rebel against me, you will die. So this physical death, and we all have now experienced that. In Genesis, chapter 3, we get where death started. It wasn't chapter 1. It wasn't chapter 2. Chapter 3, we see rebellion against God. And God, being holy God, said, I can't let that go. Yes, I'm a God of grace, but I'm also a God of truth. And I will not step away from what I said will be. I'm holy. A holy God will keep what he says, both in promises and in warnings. So, here we have the beginning of death, Genesis chapter 3. The other kind of death is spiritual death. A spiritual death is where, without salvation possible with God through Christ Jesus, we have a spiritual or a separation from God. That's called death. Now, when you have drifted from God, John said, because of work and things that got in the way, he couldn't be here for a month of Sundays. You feel that, don't you? You feel the difference when you can't gather together with God's people on a regular basis. I see a lot of heads nodding in agreement. Being together is part of your spiritual progress on a regular basis. Going to church 2 times a year doesn't do it. Being regular, gathering regularly. I've told people, I've said this many times, I'll say it again. If you had a choice, the only place you could go was a small group or worship service. I'm going to tell you to go to small group. Because small group is where you're going to do your deepest church. It's where you're going to get to know people, where trust levels really start to grow. Where you dig into words, God's word. Where you start finding answers. You start making adjustments in your own life. Now, we can do that here too, but it takes longer. Small group is where you really dig in. Okay? So if you're here and you can do a small group, I'm not telling you don't come to church. Don't hear that. We want to gather together often and regularly so that we don't have this spiritual separation. Satan adds one three-letter word, not, N-O-T, that totally changes the meaning of God's statement. You will not surely die. God said you will die. Then Satan lies outright. You will be like God. Wow. That's appealing. Satan knows from his own failed attempt to take God's place that it's impossible for a creature of the Creator to become God. But he doesn't want you to know that. He's going to try to tempt you to think you can be God. By the way, when you rebel through pride, I don't need God. I'm a man. I've got strength. I've got wisdom. I don't need Jesus. What are you saying? I'll be the God of my own life, thank you. Careful. Careful. Satan knows that he cannot be God. He doesn't want you to know that. He will tempt you to take your pride and say, I don't need. I don't need. Careful. Perhaps in her innocence, Eve thought God would be pleased that she would want to be like him. See the thinking process? Oh, Adam instills into her, you can be like God. That touches a place in her heart that goes, yes, I want to be like God. You and I would say the same thing. We want to be more like him in his character and his nature. We want to be like that. God would be pleased as we endeavor in that effort. But Satan was saying, no, you will be God. You can take his place. Satan will appeal to something that you already like or desire. Satan will appeal to something you already like or desire. Be careful. Be careful. Satan's tool or his effort on step number three is to get you to dismiss God's word. I know what he said, but this is what I like. This is what I want. And that's where pride comes in, this rebellious pride. It wasn't until Adam joined her in eating the fruit that she realized that the serpent had deceived her. Eve had been deceived, but Adam knew what he was doing wasn't right when he ate the fruit. How do we know this? Well, 1 Timothy 2:14 says that Paul confirms that Adam alone is responsible for subjecting all humanity to the tyranny and consequences of rejecting God's instruction. Paul says Adam knew what he was doing. Why did he not stop Eve? Some questions come to surface, don't they? Why did he not say, Eve, we're not supposed to eat of this tree? Why did he not stop that? Husbands, do you know the answer? I think husbands want to please their wives. Even when they know this could be going down a wrong path, husbands sometimes are afraid of displeasing their wives. She's all pumped about this. Woohoo! Here's the fruit, Adam. Look what you'll get if you eat this. Husbands, God calls us to lead our wives, not to put them under our thumb, no. Not to be authoritarian over them, no. It's a team. Marriage is a team. And to say, honey, this is the wrong direction. I don't think we should go this way. Let's double check God's word. And then go the right way. Satan will try to get you to dismiss God's word. Well, let's close this up. We need to be aware of what Satan's slippery slope of sin looks like. It looks like this. Number one, doubt God's word. We question God's word, and we may be questioning his motives. Why did he say this that way? Secondly, God wants us to dilute God's word. We add to or remove from or misremember what God said. No, Satan wants us to dilute God's word. Thank you for correcting me. Because people are listening to this on the internet, so I want to say it right. Thank you for correcting me. And then thirdly, Satan wants us to dismiss God's word. We reinterpret the meaning or reject God's word altogether. Doubt, dilute, dismiss. Satan's plan. Paul said we are not unaware of Satan's plan or his schemes. We're not unaware of this. And the way to be aware of Satan's schemes and not let him catch you in his 3D plan is to know God's word. Read, read, read. And as our brother Earl Pickard would say, look to life this way, through the word of God, and see correctly what's going on out there. Because the word of God helps you see what the world is doing and help to understand who God is, who you are in Christ, and so on. So let's respond to God, shall we? Let's respond to God today. Respond to God. Number one, trust God's word to be accurate and true. Will you trust it? You might have questions. That's okay to have questions. But trust that God's word has come down to us over thousands of years, and it is accurate to us. God does not lie. Secondly, know God's word. Study it, memorize it, and confidentially hold it in your heart. Confidently, hold it in your heart. Hold it. Got it? Everybody got a Bible? Hold it up. Yeah. Okay. Hold it. God says, grasp it. Grasp it in here, in your mind. Understand God's word. Hold it close. Do not let it leave your heart. And then thirdly, defend God's word. When others misquote, mistreat, or misinterpret God's word, gently let them know what God really said. Gently let them know. We want people to have an accurate Jesus, an accurate God. I've known men who over the years have heard this. You probably have too. I can do church. I can do church out in the woods. That's my Jesus. That's my church. I love the woods too. I love the animals. I love the nature. It's a great place to be. But God said, here it comes. But God said, repeat those words with me. But God said, meet together often. It's okay to be in the woods, but meet together often. Because there's strength in doing so. There's wisdom in doing so. There's power in doing so. There's healing in doing so. Satan has a plan. Are you aware of it? I hope you are now. And that you will be very careful about his plan. He's a sneaky guy. Let's not let him catch us off guard. We're going to stand and sing this next song. And as we do, be aware of God's good word. God is in the business of changing names, giving you a new name, giving you a name that's a powerful name, a lovely name, a beautiful name, a lasting name. And that's what Scripture tells us, who we are new in Christ, a new name. Let's stand together as we sing this.